Well, it was day 7 on my recent walking pilgrimage in southern France. And on day 7, I reached the proverbial fork in the road. Some of you know that on my 3-month sabbatical, I wanted to do some things that were kind of out of the box for me. And I heard about this ancient walking pilgrimage, which is in southern France, northern Spain, called the Camino. Really a metaphor for my life of walking with God. It's a path that millions of people have walked over the centuries. And I got a chance to do a 200-kilometer portion last month. And so it was on day 7, as I was walking on the Camino, I just passed through this gorgeous little French village where I'd had lunch. I was walking with my new friend Chris, a retired police officer from Chicago. And Chris says, "So which path are you going to take?" He said, "You know that there's a divide coming up ahead, and I've chosen," Chris said, "to take the path that stays down low by the river. It's a nice kind of leisurely walk down in the valley. It's a shorter route, and it's an easier route, and it'll get you into town a couple hours before the other one." Well, I was intrigued about the alternative, so I pulled out my phone, and it said that the main route was rated as extremely difficult. Several hundred meters of elevation, which hikers know is hard on the lungs, but even worse is the several hundred meters of decline at the end, which is hard on the knees. It was probably going to be a muddy path based on what I had seen before. And so I was intrigued. What's up there? What are the views like up there? I had a decision to make. If you're a hiker, you know that you often reach these fork-in-the-road moments. But what happens when you reach a fork-in-the-road moment with your life? With some big macro decisions that will and may shape your journey, shape the rest of your life. If you were on the Camino in my spot, which path would you choose? Well, let me invite you to put a pin in that for just a moment, because I'll remind you that Jesus actually talked about a fork in the road moment that we experience in life. In Matthew chapter 7, which is our text today, let me read to you about such a moment that Jesus says we all will find ourselves in. And if you're able, I'm going to invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. This is Matthew chapter 7. "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Pray with me. So, living God, we come to your word again today. We come to a difficult, a challenging passage filled with many metaphors, but that confronts us with a decision that you are calling us to. So we pray that you would now, by your Spirit, shine a light on this passage. Help us to understand the meaning. What were you talking about? Help us to connect it with our own lives and to see which path we find ourselves choosing, which path you're inviting us to. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. 2 gates, 2 paths, 2 destinies. And the stakes could not be higher. One road leads to the flourishing of life, and one leads to the diminishing, even stronger worded, the destruction of life. When I read this, I think, Jesus, aren't you being a little overly dramatic here? Well, if you've just joined us, you will know that we've been journeying through the world's greatest talk. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. It's not a TED Talk on YouTube. It's the sermon of Jesus called the Sermon on the Mount. And Alvin and Pastor Ken and others have been helping us journey through this sermon. I really don't feel like I was away for very long, because when I left, we were doing the Sermon on the Mount. Now I'm back. We're still on the Sermon on the Mount. I wasn't gone for very long at all. But we have reached a point in the sermon where Jesus is not going to introduce any new material, but he's going to press his listeners, that's us, to make a decision. What are you going to do with what I've taught you? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't really like either-or decisions. Decisions that are yes or no, black or white. They seem kind of limiting to me. I want Jesus to give me an option C, D, E, all of the above, none of the above. Can you imagine walking across the street after the service to Ernest Ice Cream and them saying, vanilla or chocolate? What do you mean vanilla or chocolate? What about peanut butter pretzel marshmallow? Can you imagine buying a can of paint at Home Depot and them saying, black or white? As modern consumers, we value choices. We value pluralism. And so this is hard to be confronted with an either-or decision. And yet, isn't it true that in life, some of the biggest decisions we make are like this? They're yes or no. They're black or white. They're left or right. Think about the biggest decisions that you've had to make. Chances are, most, maybe all of those decisions were like this in nature. I think about my grandparents, who in 1930 were faced with a decision. Do we leave Poland and immigrate to Canada? It's kind of a yes or no decision. Think about applying for or going off to college. It was probably a yes or no decision for you. Yesterday was at a wedding. Some of you were there, of one of our former worship leaders, Corey Jantz. And I thought of this as he and Nicole stood at the altar. And it was a I do or I don't moment. And thankfully, Corey and Nicole both said I do. Would have been a very awkward ceremony if they had said I don't. It's a yes or no, I do, I don't, which really will shape the rest of their lives. Robert Frost was onto this when he said, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Jesus says there's two gates, two roads, and two destinies. So this morning, just for a few moments, why don't we explore what these two paths are? To ask questions about what was Jesus talking about? What does it look like for me to walk the wide road or the narrow path? How do I make a decision about that? Which one is Jesus inviting me into? So first, let's look at the road more traveled, the wide gate or the wide path. For wide is the gate, Jesus said, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. So likely what people would have thought when Jesus taught this was of the gates in the city wall of Jerusalem, or really any major city in the ancient world. The cities were fortified. They wanted to protect themselves from invading armies, from enemies. And so you did not enter a city by climbing over the wall. You walked typically through the broad gate, through the wide gate. These were the common gates, which would accommodate many, many people at one time. If you were walking and kind of going with the flow of traffic, you would walk through the wide gate. The wide gate was easy to cross through because it didn't require really any change on your part. You could walk through with all of your friends. You could walk through with a backpack. You could walk through with a caravan, with a chariot, with really whatever you wanted to bring. It required no change. It was, in a sense, the path of least resistance. And in contrast, Jesus is saying there is a narrow gate that you can enter that I'm inviting you to enter through. Picture a hole in a fence where maybe you need to get down on your knees to humble yourself, to strip off your backpack. You can't necessarily go in as a group and bring things with you, and it takes considerable effort to enter this other gate. I think about this when I drop my daughter off at her school, because there is this funny-looking kind of gate thing. There are two posts. And I know on the picture those look pretty far apart, but the picture is deceptive. They're very close together, at least I think they are. And what happens in my mind as I walk toward that is I think, I'm picturing in my mind how wide my waist is, and I'm thinking, I'm pretty sure I can make it through there. And I take another step and think, I'm not sure if I'm going to make it through there. Wonder if I can make it through there. And I get a little closer, and then I suck in my gut, and I hope that nobody's really watching me. And then I just casually just kind of... and then I breathe out, and it's all good. Jesus is saying, in contrast, the narrow gate is more difficult. It requires some sort of change on your part. It's not a go-with-the-flow kind of option. And for those of you who've been here, maybe this shouldn't surprise you, because we've been doing the Sermon on the Mount, and all the way through, Jesus has been talking about different ways to live. So the wide road living, the road more traveled, looks like this. When somebody hurts you, you hurt them back. When somebody says something nasty about you, you think of a really good comeback, a zinger that will really put them in their place, and then you let them have it. If somebody hits you, you hit them back twice as hard. You teach them a lesson. That's taking the wide path. Revenge feels really good in the moment, doesn't it? The wide road living says it's okay to harbor anger and lust. Because, come on, who's that going to hurt anyway? Wide road living means you look at the speck in your sister's eye and you make a big deal out of that. Because if you make enough of a deal out of that little speck, then maybe no one will notice the 2x4 sticking out of your eye. We know that wide road living, Jesus said, means sometimes doing good things, but for selfish reasons. Sometimes doing religious-looking works to help you feel a little more superior over someone else. That you do good things to gain leverage over others, maybe even leverage over God, so that one day you can say, God, wait a second here. You know how much I've done for you, how faithful I've been to you. You owe me. Jesus is saying, this is what it looks like to walk on the wide path. To walk on the wide road is to go with the flow, to allow ourselves to be shaped by the expectations of our culture, of our peers, of our colleagues, of our bosses, even our parents. One day as I was walking on the Camino, this is story number 2 from the Camino. You're going to hear so much about this over the next 6 months or so. Enough with the Camino stories, you'll be saying. One day I was walking, and this one of the questions that you know always comes up is, why are you doing this? And this woman is about 30 years old. She's from Germany, and she told me this story of how she worked in this large financial firm in Germany, and she was a rising star. She was getting promoted. She was getting offered new roles. People were tapping her shoulder and said, wow, you're one of the brightest stars in our company. And she went along. She kind of went with the flow and thought, well, I guess I'm being asked for this. This is a good thing, right? I'm climbing the corporate ladder. And one day after a series of promotions, she had this awakening moment. She said, I was commuting 1 hour and 15 minutes each day to and from work because I had to switch offices. I was getting crushed under the weight of all the responsibilities that were now on me. And I would come home from work late. I had no energy or time to connect with any friends. I had nothing to offer, nothing to give, just sit on the couch and watch Netflix and try to recoup before I, the next day, got up early and got back on that hamster wheel and did it all over again. And she said, how did I get here? How did this happen? Why am I doing this? And so she did something really bold. She quit her job and surprised everyone in her company and decided, I really need to reset my values and my priorities, and decided to walk the Camino as an opportunity to reset her priorities. Sometimes on the wide road, we just get carried along with the expectations of others. We didn't really think we made a choice, and suddenly here we are, and we're surprised at where this road has taken us. Here's the irony, friends, is that the wide path, as my friend from Germany would say, the wide road, going with the flow, leads to a shrunken life. The wide road leads to a diminished life, a reduction of life, diminished joy, shrunken relationships, not to a life of flourishing. I think that Jesus, as I've reflected on this, was also referring to another type of person, because at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, here's what happened. I don't have this on PowerPoint, but you can just hear it. Is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, verse 28, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. And I think that another application, which maybe hits home for me and for us, is that another wide road living is to hear the words of Jesus and to say, you know, Jesus, those are good words. Those are inspiring words. They're truthful. But I don't think I could actually do that. And I'm going to just take a few steps back here. And Jesus, I admire your teaching, but I'm not really ready to follow you. To become a fan or an admirer of Jesus, but not a follower of Jesus. To say, you know, Jesus, I hear your words, I like them, I want to maintain some connection with you, but I kind of want to stay in control of my life. I want the right at any point to say, whoa, Jesus, back off. You're getting a little too close. You're asking for a little bit too much. Hands off this part of my life. I'm convicted by this because I sense this in me sometimes as I read these tough passages, is I feel like I want to back up and say, maybe I'll just be a fan, an admirer. Jesus, can I have you as my advisor, but not as my master? Do you ever feel that tension? Do you ever recognize that in yourself? Well, the passage goes on, and Jesus tells us about another pathway that we can take, that we're invited to. It is the narrow path, the road less traveled. Small is the gate, Jesus said, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Narrow. That doesn't sound very appealing, does it? Narrow is usually a pretty negative connotation. One of the worst things you can be called is narrow-minded. And there is, on the surface, the fear that if we follow Jesus, that we are entering a very confined, a kind of putting on a straitjacket, that this is going to be awful. It doesn't sound very appealing on the surface, does it? Following the narrow path, entering the narrow gate, means that we must change with God's help. That like climbing through that hole in the fence, we may need to strip some things off of our back that we're carrying. We may need to experience transformation, and that's hard. We might lose something that is dear to us, and we don't want to lose anything. As we've read the Sermon on the Mount, here's some examples of what it looks like to walk the narrow path, the road less traveled. Is that when people say nasty and hurtful things to you, not only do you not strike back in anger, in revenge, but get this, the narrow way is to ask God to give you a love for your enemy. That's hard. That's a miracle. To not respond to evil and anger with evil and anger, but to respond to evil with love and with forgiveness. That's the road less traveled. That is the narrow way. I think about people in our community who are walking the narrow way. I think about a family who was gifted by God with a special needs child. And it's hard for them. It's incredibly difficult. And yet they have come to the place of recognizing that God has given them this child with these unique abilities. And now they look at their child and they say, those special needs are not a deficiency. Those special needs are one of their greatest gifts. The special needs of my child are their most beautiful attributes, their most beautiful qualities. And I hear that and I go, wow, you are walking this narrow path that has reframed everything. And they would be honest with you that there's challenges, immense challenges, and yet by God's grace, what a beautiful family, what a beautiful picture of love. I think about people in our community who are journeying with cancer, and instead of getting bitter and angry at God and others, instead of collapsing into self-pity, they continue to ask God for strength. They come on a Sunday and they radiate this smile to others. They're people of generosity, of giving, of asking, how are you doing? How can I pray for you? And I say, wow, God is helping you walk this narrow path. To walk the narrow way is to live with intention and attention, not the perfect life, but to renew regularly this decision. Jesus, I want to follow you. Give me the strength today. Give me the strength today to do what you're asking me to do, though it seems impossible. Wide road living is to remain in the safety of being an admirer or a fan of Jesus. But narrow way living is to say, Jesus, I want to be your follower. Let me see if I can unpack this just a little bit more. As these past few weeks, I'm going to be honest with you that I have jumped fully on the bandwagon of the Toronto Raptors. Anybody else bandwagon fan jumped on? Okay. There were a few hardcore Toronto Raptors fans that were like, jumping on. I've always been a Toronto Raptors fan, so if that's you, kudos to you. But I'm not really a basketball fan. But I've watched these games, and I'm so caught up in it. I am standing for like the last 5 minutes of the game, which is like an hour of real time, you know? Brandy's like, when is the game done? I'm like, 7 seconds left. 15 minutes later, 3 seconds left. They just go on forever, but I've been caught up. It's been so exciting and exhilarating to see them on this run. And I watch Kawhi Leonard with just these beautiful shots and these game-deciding, you know, overtime baskets. And I admire his talents. I'm a fan of the Toronto Raptors, but you know what? Somewhere in many places of this country, there are kids that are more than fans of the Toronto Raptors. When they see Kawhi Leonard sink that shot, you know what they say to themselves? I want to be like him. I want to do that. I want to get to the place where I'm sinking that decisive basket in game 7 overtime. And these are the kids that pester their parents to sign them up for basketball camp. And they go on YouTube and watch videos of how to be a better basketball player. And these are the kids in my neighborhood, late at night, on a warm night, the windows are open and I can hear dribbling in the alley. And they are working on that shot over and over and over again. And guess what? Some of those kids will be the next Kawhi Leonard. I'm a fan, I'm an admirer, but they have become followers. They have said, that's what I want to do, whatever the cost. And as they watch him play and their heart beats a little faster and their imagination goes wild, you know, there comes a time in our lives where we've listened to Jesus. Maybe we're new to his teaching, we're strangers to Jesus, but we hear his words, we admire them. But there also comes a time, friends, when we go beyond admiring Jesus, when we say, Jesus, I truly want to be your follower. I don't want to just stay a safe distance back. I want to enter this narrow gate. Why? Because I believe it leads to life. How do we enter this narrow gate? Well, listen to Jesus in John 10. Jesus said, I am the gate. That we come to Jesus because he is the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be saved. I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Here's the irony of it all, friends. Choose the wide gate and your life will shrink. Choose the narrow gate, the difficult gate, the road less traveled, and you will be given a gracious, a spacious life. You will find that your life expands, that your heart and your soul are enlarged, that there is greater capacity to love. There is greater capacity for joy. You will experience, as Jesus said in John 10:10, a more and a better life than you ever dreamed of. Well, maybe you're wondering, whatever happened on the Camino that day when you hit the fork in the road? Well, you know, if I'm sharing this story, you know which road I took. I said to Chris, you know what, Chris, I will catch up with you tomorrow. I'm going to stay on the main path. It wasn't really anything heroic on my part. I just thought I was really curious and wondered if I was climbing so high, there must be some great views up there. And I started on this trail, and it was muddy, and it was hard. And there were moments of feeling like maybe I made the wrong choice. And there were moments on my Camino walk where I was kind of miserable because it was a hard path. And I thought to myself, why didn't I do a pilgrimage in Hawaii? Beach to beach. Now that is a cool pilgrimage. But once I climbed those several hundred meters of elevation and I got up, they were some of the most beautiful scenes I had could imagine. These rolling grassy hills that were just so picturesque. They were breathtaking. And views above, and it was exhilarating, and it was difficult, and yet here's a little metaphor of our lives, is Jesus is saying, choose the narrow path, and your life and your experience will open up to something better than you dreamed of, richer, difficult, yes, but with my help, you can walk this path. I heard a story this week of a gentleman who's 80 years old. He was listening to this sermon, and whenever anybody asked him if he was a Christian, he would say, well, I've gone to church for years. I was raised in church. I was kind of socialized into this faith. I've volunteered. I've given. I've been a part of this community for years and years and years. And yet, as he read this passage, he was convinced that he had never come to the place of intentionally deciding and saying to Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to be your follower. He says, I think I was an admirer staying at a safe distance, and I read this, and I thought, Jesus, I want to be your follower. Friends, I don't know where you're at. Maybe this you're new to Jesus. This is your first time in church. Maybe the next step for you would be to be familiar with what Jesus says and the life that he's calling to you. But maybe some of you are at the place where Jesus is asking you to decide. Do you want to remain a fan, an admirer, or will you be my follower? Will you enter the narrow gate today? Let's pray together. So, living God, we now invite you to speak to us. And we want to open our ears and our hearts to whatever you might have to say. Thank you, Jesus, that you never lead us out of a sense of guilt or of pressure. Your Spirit always invites. So we now listen to what you might be inviting us to today. Friends, just take a moment to listen in your heart to how God might be speaking to you.